The date was November 24th, 2024. The place is Maranatha. We have a few individuals who are going to fill the time that I usually do. So you guys get a little bit of a break from me. But we've got several individuals of our congregation who have come and talked with me, and God is working in their lives, and they want to share what is upon their heart with us today. So I'm excited to hear from them, and I'm going to start with, I'm going to say a good friend of mine, Steve. Steve Falk is going to come. Steve and I, you've been coming for like 20 some odd years. It's awesome that you are here, and come on up, and I want to let you know that as he comes, there are some of his artwork at the back. Yeah. He's going to talk about it, but he wants to share it with you guys, so talk, yeah.
Okay. Yes, the art book is in the foyer there.
Take a little step forward. Okay. There we go.
The paintings are free. I do them every day. I work at it, and I really live it. So they're there for free, anybody wants them. And I'll read about my life where I started in 1990 here at Friends Housing. Soon after, I met up with Pastor Lewicki. In a few years, I joined Maranatha. And a few years, my friends joined Dave Dirksen and Big McPherson. Later, I met Dave Friesen. I know he prayed for me often. And then I joined the Maranatha Church Bible Study for 20 years. I felt I was never more blessed by people of God, of the Holy Spirit and Jesus. I never felt more loved. This is the first church I've ever been a member. When I'm troubled, I read the devotional books and learn. I talk to God, and God talks to me. I am so thankful for the love of Jesus all my life, for the rest of God's blessing of my soul. Amen. Amen.
I'm gonna pray for Steve. Father, I just thank you so much for my brother Steve. Thank you so much that he is a part of our church. Father, as he has been coming over 20 years, we have been blessed to know him, to be to have his artwork grace our church, to have you working through him and his artwork. Father, we're grateful for how he is a light for you at Friends Housing, and how he is just... Father, I'm grateful he's my brother in Christ. And I pray your blessing in your upon him this day, and help him to have many more years of being a light for you in our community. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Our bulletin says that our next person is Sharon. And I don't see her here this morning. And I'm not sure what has caused her not to be here. But I do know that part of what she wanted to share was that it has been 50 years that she has been a part of the body of Christ. And so to me, that's an amazing thing to celebrate. And she was going to share some of the highlights and some of the things that God was sharing with her over the past 50 years of her life. So perhaps we'll have that happen at a later date. So I'm going to move on to our next person. This person I've barely met. not true. Midori, I'm grateful to have you come this morning and share with us.
Thank you. Hi. Hopefully this goes better than the last time I shared at the worship night.
Thank you.
just kind of... As I was processing through what the Lord's been teaching me over the last little while, one of the words that kept coming back to me was the word surrender. And the idea that I had, and Levi and I had all of these plans, we had these desires, and they were good desires. They were things that God says in his word are profitable for his people to pursue, and yet we're not able to pursue those things in the way that we thought that we would be. And so just being reminded that my plans aren't necessarily, even if they sound like they're good things, aren't necessarily what God had laid out for my life. And so I was reminded of Jeremiah 29:11, which is a pretty common verse. I think most people probably would say that they've heard it, but it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." And what really encourages me about these verses, this verse is the context in which it was written, because Jeremiah wrote this in a letter to those who were exiled in Babylon, I believe it was. And so I'm sure for those exiles, it didn't feel like God's plans were good. It didn't feel like he had something that was in store for them that was great and profitable and for their future hope. And so even though my plans and mine and Levi's plans didn't necessarily work out the way that we thought that they would, I know that God is still working in my life to make me more like Christ, which is the ultimate goal of what he's doing in my life. So that's kind of what I was prepared to share today.
Let me pray for you, Midori. Father, I thank you for my daughter. I thank you so much that she is part of my house. She's part of our church. She is your daughter. And Father, as we have heard that the best laid plans are not always ones that come to fruition, we are grateful that she is still faithful, as you are always faithful. Father, I ask your anointing and your blessing upon her and upon Levi as they continue to seek you. Father, open the doors that need to be opened. Allow them to see those doors. Allow them to process what has happened. And Father, sometimes you take us into the ditch beside the road for us to realize where you really want us to be. And so, Father, as she goes through this time of the plans that had been made have gone sideways, we pray that your door, that your road would be open to them, that they would see it. Bless them as they go, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've got one more person who I will say I don't know Eileen really well, but I'm getting to know her. And so will you come at this time? I am grateful that she has been part of our church these last couple of years, but I know that she is coming with Kleenex, so this is not good for me. But I am going to stand with you.
God's amazing, you know. Amen. You're sharing the Dory. That's not a coincidence, because mine just follows right along with that. Plans that don't work out the way we thought they would. Anyway, before I start crying, many years ago, my husband was given a little plaque by his sister. And it's my prayer today, Lord, fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough. George and I walked into Maranatha one Sunday morning in August of 2022, looking for a church home. Ernie and Barb came to greet us. Other people were friendly, and we enjoyed the service. We kind of knew what we were looking for in a church. We'd pastored churches for many years. Mm-hmm. We'd just moved to Winnipeg, but had spent most of our lives in Ontario. In 2001, our younger daughter, Tricia, came to Manitoba for a year at Providence College, then stayed and got her degree at U of W. Our older daughter, Pam, who'd recently finished her nursing degree, came to visit her sister, dropped off a resume at HSC, and was hired. Both girls settled in Winnipeg and had no intentions of ever moving back to Ontario. After several years of pastoring in 2003, George decided to change careers, and we settled on our rural property not far from Ottawa. He took courses to qualify as a teacher of English as a second language, and I worked in the area as a home care nurse. Life was good, and we looked forward to our retirement years together. But it was not to be. At the end of 2015, I was told I had a rare autoimmune condition called dermatomyositis. During the fall of that year, I developed a strange rash on my face, which spread. And by December, when I was finally able to see a dermatologist, my entire body was severely inflamed and so itchy that I thought I would lose my mind. I had a pretty good idea how Job felt. But unlike Job, I had a very supportive spouse, and he didn't tell me to curse God and die. I was prescribed a very strong steroid cream, and the inflammation eventually resolved, but my lungs and heart were damaged, and I felt more like 91 than 61. I was told the cause of my condition was the sun. I'd spent a month that summer at our cabin in Manitoba, and the rash started on my face before I went home. Yep, that beautiful sunshine that all Manitobans love literally makes me sick, and I have to do my best to avoid it. But I'd seen enough as a home care nurse to know that when you're old or sick, it's tough when your kids live hundreds of miles across the country. So the next year, George and I sold our property and moved to Gimli. When Pam heard we were moving there, she told me we'd have trouble finding a doctor. She was working as a nurse practitioner in the clinic attached to the Grace Hospital over here and suggested that we check with the Assiniboine Clinic across the street, and we were able to find an excellent young doctor there. During the next 6 years, we often drove down Sturgeon Avenue to the clinic, and my eyes were always drawn to this church. It's hard not to notice a church with the name Maranatha. George had always been a big, strong man and the picture of health, until he wasn't. It was May of 2020 that he suddenly became short of breath and could barely walk around the block. At the time, there was a new virus spreading, which caused breathing problems, so of course he went for a COVID test. But when he told Pam about it, she said, "That's great, Dad, but you better go to the ER. It could be your heart." That had never occurred to me. Sure enough, he was diagnosed with heart failure, but the kind that many cardiac drugs have no effect on. Before long, blood work showed his kidneys were failing, and our doctor referred him to a kidney specialist. But COVID was raging, and it was impossible to see a doctor of any kind. Finally, in 2021, during a phone appointment, he was told, "I think you have amyloidosis." We were to learn that this is a very rare blood condition which damages blood cells and organs in the body. Life expectancy is very short. Over the next year, he had chemo every week for 9 months, and every week his kidneys shut down for a few days. He had multiple complications, spent hours in ER and in the hospital during one of the worst times in history to be a patient. I was thankful for my experience as a nurse to care for him and try to prepare us both for what seemed inevitable. We switched caregiver roles, and I did my best to cope as I watched his health deteriorate. I told him often he was the best patient I ever had, because he did everything he could to help himself and never complained. In the summer of 22, I was finding that driving from Gimli to Winnipeg for medical appointments was taking its toll on me, and we knew he would soon need dialysis. So we moved to St. James and became part of the family here at Maranatha. It wasn't long before many of you heard how sick he was and reached out to us. 10 months after we first walked through those doors, I sat at the front of this church with my daughters for his funeral. Pastor Dave was a wonderful support during that terrible time, and I felt I'd known him forever. In the weeks that followed, I was totally drained, physically, mentally, and emotionally. So much for our retirement years together. I felt like half of me was missing, and I asked God why I was the one that survived. But I could have no peace until I surrendered to him and acknowledged that he knows what is best. Romans 8:28 is true. All things work together for those that love God. There have been many lonely hours since I lost George, but it has served a good purpose. He never slept as late as I did, and when he was home, it was never quiet. The TV was on, or he was talking on the phone. Sometimes I longed for quiet so I could have my devotions. On my first morning without him, I said to myself, well, you've always wanted quiet. You've got it. But I could spend an hour or two with the Lord if I wanted to, and we've grown much closer. I have much to be thankful for. I have two terrific daughters who are a great help to me. I'm getting to know my grandsons again, after missing out on a few years of their lives with COVID and George's illness. There's no shortage of stores nearby, and I can shop till I drop. I have a supportive, friendly church family, and I'm making new friends in Winnipeg. I have beautiful memories of almost 45 years with the right man, and I know that one day we will be together again, forever. Today, I can still say, God is good all the time.
Amen. Let me pray for you.
I have a request.
Request away.
A specific prayer request. On December 3rd, I'm moving to another apartment. And I feel it's time, but I do feel like I'm leaving George behind. The apartment I'm in now is the last place I saw him alive. But I think I need to move on. But I'm pretty emotional. And honestly, this week has been rough. I finally realized that the enemy was not happy about me speaking today. And he let me know it. But I did.
You did well.
And I give God the victory.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and we thank you that you are such an amazing God. Father, we thank you for the years of service that George and Eileen gave to you as they spread your word. And as we've heard the difficulties over the last several years. Father, we give you the glory for healing in Eileen's body. We thank you that that you are the great physician. Father, as she has lost George and as she is moving on to a new apartment, Father, I pray that this step would be done with faith, with you. Father, I pray that as a church family, we would support her and continue to support her. We thank you for the years that she has been here. for the time that we've had to get to know her. And we look forward to the many more years that we will have together. May you anoint her and bless her this day as we give you the victory for all that has taken place. In Jesus' name, amen. There is one more group to share this morning, and these guys I've known for a while. I remember the very first time I met Chris and Walter. It's burned into my brain because I was an intern here at the church. It was maybe my third Sunday here at the church, and I was selected to lead service. And I was told that Chris had an announcement to make and to call Chris up, Chris Martins. I had no clue who Chris Martins was. So I called Chris Martins to come to the front and share. And Walter stood up and said, "Me?" I said, "Come on up." And everybody in the congregation laughed because they knew who Chris was and who Walter was. So, Walter, will you come? Because I just don't trust Chris. Just joking. Would you two come and share with us this morning?
What a rich morning, huh? I love it. I love the sharing. You know, Pastor Dave, of course we love your sermons as well. But man, what a privilege it is to just be here and hear what God is doing. He's doing great things. And you know, Pastor Dave, when you said when Midori was speaking about sometimes God takes us off the road and puts us into the ditch. Do you remember our time in Africa? We would be driving in these little, they call them matatus, it's like a little van. And all of a sudden we would be driving in the ditch. And we're just going, "What are we doing?" And the guy says, "No, it's much better down here." So Midori and also Eileen, when God takes you into the ditch, it's because he knows it's smoother down there than up here. And he is taking you somewhere that suddenly the ditch actually becomes your road. So praise God. So excited about that. And so privileged that I can be up here and share with you guys, but also be part of this. Be part of this, what God is doing. God is bringing his kingdom to earth through things like this. So, amen. Amen. What has God been doing? So, in our lives, we have been busy. And my hope and my belief is that God has been busy within our busyness. That it's not just me and Walter being busy, but it's him. And it's his work. Because otherwise, what's the point, right? So last spring, I think it was, Portage Avenue Church asked Walter and I if we would lead their young adults group. So that's been in the planning. We've been working on that. And the year before that, the winter before that, we had helped, not led it, but helped with their young couples group. And now they're making it into a young adults. So it's a huge undertaking to sort of change this program. It's a challenge because 18-year-olds who are in it, and some very young married couples who are in it, and some 30-year-old singles who are in it, all with, you know, different parts of their life, but all in one group. So just praying, and that's a prayer request for us, that God will give us wisdom on how to bring this group together and just honor him and benefit their church through this group. In September, we led a Worldview Chaos Kingdom or Chaos Seminar. Some of you were there, and that was exciting for us. We love seeing your faces there. And so this is a big planning thing. I don't think we've ever done preparations for this. We brought in a speaker from the States, a guy that we had heard speak in Kona, Hawaii, and is a great speaker. So we brought him in, got it all planned, and we're going. And one thing we learned through all this is that you cannot advertise in summer something that's going to happen in fall, because nobody is thinking fall in summer. They don't even want to hear about fall and summer. So You know, we were like 2 weeks away from the seminar, and we got this all planned and stuff, and we had five people registered, and we're going,
2 weeks.
Yeah, and we're going, oh my goodness, God, you know, and he just kept telling us, you know, over and over, do what I've asked you to do, and I'll do what you can't do. So we just came to him, we go, God, we have, you know, we've talked to every single person we know, we've encouraged people, we've asked people, and he goes, I know, I'll work in their hearts now, and you just get it ready. And 2 weeks later, we had 95 people signed up. We were so excited, and just seeing God work. And what I loved about that weekend, like, it was wonderful teaching and wonderful fellowship and just the freedom that we had in the worship time. And especially, I think that was really evident in the last concert that we had on Sunday that sort of ended the whole seminar. There was just freedom in worship. And I believe God was doing what we can't do. And I have to so often remember that, going, Chris, stop. This isn't your job. This isn't your part. Just stop and watch what God does. And this last October, we went on a YWAM scouting trip. We call it a scouting trip because we were going to the different YWAM bases, Youth of the Mission. And we went with the pastor from Portage Avenue Church and his three children. He has five, but we took three of them along, and Walter and I. So six of us, one vehicle, 2 weeks, lots of traveling, and we made it. I was a little worried about this trip. I'm going, how is this going to pan out? But it was such a good trip. And even the three kids, 5, 7, and 9 years old, were so part of the ministry. They just, like, we'd pray with them. We would ask, like, what did you think of this and stuff? It was such a good time. We went to six different bases. We went to Medicine Hat, Alberta, to Diamond Valley, Alberta, to Lakeside, Montana, to Nanaimo, BC, to Victoria, BC, and also to Linden, Washington. And so it was full packed 2 weeks. We were busy. Walter did find time to catch us a salmon when we were on the island so we could have a salmon roast. But it was just like it was good busyness. It was the kind where you go, I know I'm where God wants me right now. And I'm doing what he wants me to do, so you're busy and you're tired, but it's great. You know, so that was fun. One of the purposes of the trip was to encourage YWAM staff and YWAM kids that are in the DTS schools, if they're coming out of YWAM, just to encourage them to keep that passion and to keep connected with the YWAM group. And that's YWAM Associates, who Walter and I work with, that's one of the things they do. So we work with sort of a YWAM alumni. And so that was to see some of these and to get, you know, to encourage them. But we also wanted to, in this goal, we wanted to talk to different bases and see how we could partner with them. So often, YWAM is a place we send our youth, right? So we send them, but we go, how can we actually do stuff with you? And I believe Walter's going to talk about this a little bit later, but I think God gave us some real insight, and through talking to different people that are out there on the bases, God's a creative God, and he just came up with some ideas. So that was a really worthwhile trip. That was in October. So I'll let you continue.
Okay. You can see this is her sheet. See how neat that is? This is mine. She's so much more organized than I am. You know, Chris mentioned that we visited six different bases this summer. And so I asked the Lord, so what now? We've seen all these people. We've been encouraged. How do we connect with them? So we're out doing Christmas shopping in IKEA, and I get a phone call from Nick Brown from a base in Niagara Falls. And I thought, Lord, that's east. We went west. You never know what God has up, right? And we get and this young guy, 21, him and his friend Jess, his other student Jesse, are leading this team. They're going on outreach, and he says to me, I said, who is this? He says, Nick Brown from Niagara. Okay, and then he says, we've been praying, and we believe God is calling us to do part of our outreach in Western Canada. And I thought, awesome. That is so good. And then he said, what do you think about having a team of 6 people come to Winnipeg? And, you know, we had been praying about this already. We were thinking, you know, Lord, maybe we could bring a team and they could encourage the church and the church could encourage them. And so I was taken back. And then he said, we want to come in January. Lord, I thought this would be more in the fall, you know, like that's 6 weeks away, right? So they're praying about it, so we don't know if it's actually going to happen yet, but we'll find out. We had a Zoom meeting with them. We'll find out next week. I told them we had been praying the same thing. And, so they're going to Japan for 6 weeks, and they want to come, hopefully, to Winnipeg for 2 weeks of that. I was just reminded, as we walk with the Father, he gives us the next step, the next thing we need to know that he wants us to do. In March of next year, we are planning to go to Bolivia. Terry Jank, a really close friend of ours, Terry and Pat Jank. Terry is the pastor of, or was the pastor of, White Ridge Baptist Church, and he just retired, but he lost his wife this summer. And we were really close friends with them. And so when he asked us to go along, because he wanted to see, he had been a missionary there with his wife, teaching at a seminary for 7 years. And so I think there's a lot of grieving people over there that he wants to meet and talk and reconnect. And so he asked us to come along. And so we felt that this was something God wanted us to do. Encourage him, but also this gives us an opportunity to visit a YWAM base in Santa Cruz, and also this awesome ministry that we've heard about dealing with the children of prostitutes. So we're not sure what God has there in Bolivia, and you can pray for us as we go there. He's only going for 2 weeks, but I said, Lord, that's a long ways to go for just 2 weeks. So we're going to stay for 4 weeks. And we don't know what God has for us yet. So we're pretty excited about that. Chris also mentioned our involvement with the young adults at Portage Avenue Church. You know, we believe God has called us to lead this ministry. And in some ways it's exciting. In some ways it breaks our heart. So we will need to attend Portage Avenue Church in order to get to know them. Yeah, it's been such a hard decision. We have so many good memories here. We will miss you all very much. It's not like we'll never show up, but it's different, isn't it? So, that's all, folks.
It's okay if God's taking you into the ditch. No. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for my brother and my sister. I thank you so much for their love for you. I thank you that you have called them and that they have heard your voice and that they are heeding your voice. Father, I am so grateful that they not only hear your voice but are following as they are heading to Bolivia soon. Father, just be with that ministry. Open doors there. Father, as they are heading to Portage Avenue Church, as you have opened that door for ministry to them, Father, I pray that you would just send them, anoint them as they go, that they might pour into the lives of those young adults. Yeah. Father, we are grateful that they have been a part of our church for longer than I've been around, for more than 30 years. Father, we are grateful that they have always been faithful. And I pray your blessings upon them as they go. Yeah. Father, we will miss them as a congregation, but we know that they're not far. We know that they will come and visit. And Father, they are still part of our family here at Maranatha.
Yes.
And Father, may they go with our blessing. Mm-hmm. This we pray in your precious name. Amen.